Thank you all for listening to Weeknight Mysteries podcast. My name is Yuris and I am here with Rain. How are you?
Hello, Yuris, and hello, everybody. As always, the usual. All good. How are you?
All good. Same here. So, first of all, I would like to thank everyone who had recently subscribed to our YouTube channel. We had a lot of new subscribers over the week, so I'm very happy. And a lot of people reacted very positively to the Belmez Faces podcast episode, which was not a very typical episode for us because we were maybe focusing more on the paranormal side of things.
Oh, you meant the true crime side of things.
Yeah, well, the Belmez Faces was more of a paranormal episode. And we're definitely keeping our eyes peeled for similar topics. If you would like something for us, or if you have something in mind of a similar nature that you would like us to talk about, please leave that in the comment section of our YouTube channel or reach out to us via Gmail, however you can find us. Today, I want to discuss a case that has been on my radar for a little while. I do not remember if someone specifically suggested this one, but this is a fascinating case. It's a case of a missing young man from Missouri, Branson Perry, a 20-year-old young man who had disappeared on April 11th, back in 2001. It was over 20 years ago. This man, Branson Perry, he vanished under very mysterious and shady circumstances. From his own residence, he was living at 304 West Oak Street in Skidmore, Missouri. Skidmore is a very small town in Missouri, but it has a history, a very dark and sinister history. For a city, or let's say a little town, that has only around 200 people living there, and it never really had any more than that. It has been steadily declining in population. It had a lot of very violent crime over the years. And it's the same place where, a lot of different crimes happened. I didn't want to focus on any of those. For today, I really want to just focus on Branson Perry's disappearance. Branson Perry, what do you know about him? Well, I have some images here that you could check. He's a young man. He was born on February 24th in 1981. And he was raised in Skidmore. He graduated from Nottoway Holt High School in 1999. And after he graduated, he was working some odd jobs, including work as a roofer, as well as helping maintaining a traveling petting zoo in the area. So these are very odd, not super stable jobs that Branson was doing. At the time of his disappearance, he was actually unemployed. Branson Perry, at the time of his disappearance, this 20-year-old man that we're going to be talking about today, he was living with his father, Bob Perry. His parents, Branson's parents, were recently divorced. Branson had a younger brother, and from the information that I was able to gather, Branson himself was living with his father while his younger brother was living with his mother because his parents were divorced. So one son was living with one parent and the other son was living with the other parent. So far, it's understandable, right?
Completely.
All right, Branson suffered from a condition called tachycardia, probably not how it's pronounced.
That sounded Japanese a little bit.
It's probably the wrong pronunciation. However, this condition basically means that his heart would race excessively. His heart rate would race excessively. Although having this condition didn't really stop him from living a regular life in Missouri. He was also a black belt in Hapkido, which, from what I found online, is a Korean martial art that focuses on self-defense. Anything that's... Okay, I'm not even going to lie. I just need a sip of water, so please say something here.
Authentic water break again? No, okay, from the pictures, he kind of looks like a regular kid. I mean, looking at him, he seems like, as you mentioned, he was training. It didn't seem like he had a condition. Seems like a pretty normal kid, a 20-year-old kid who's working odd jobs. The odd jobs, they kind of seem like a filler, you know what I mean? Like a jobs that he has right now as he searched for his main job, like his priority.
The real job.
Yeah.
Until he finds the real job.
The real job that it will kickstart his career.
Exactly.
So far, nothing odd.
Nothing odd. Something from his background that I also found was that he wanted to join the military, mm-hmm. but I believe due to that heart condition, he was not able to go that route. At the time of his disappearance, Brandon was described as a white male. He stood around 5'9" to 5'10" and weighed around 140 to 155 pounds. He had blonde hair and blue eyes. Some of his distinguishing characteristics include a small, faint scar on his upper right cheek, a small scar on his left knee. He had normal teeth. His wisdom teeth have been pulled out, as well as he was right-handed. These are the noticeable characteristics that we wanted to kind of touch upon. So Brandon vanished under very mysterious and quite unclear circumstances. I actually had to find multiple sources and try to kind of clarify what was actually happening on the day when he vanished. But before we jump to the day when he vanished, which would be April 11th of 2001, I want to jump to a day 4 days prior to his vanishing, which would be Saturday, April 7th. So 4 days before he vanished, Branson actually visited the home of his neighbor, a man by the name of Jason Bierman, which I tried to find this person online by looking up his name, and I wasn't able to find any information on this Jason Bierman, but he plays a big role, in my opinion, in Branson's disappearance. So he's a neighbor, right? And 4 days before Branson vanished, he went in there to Jason's place. Jason, by the way, was, I believe, in his early 30s, something of that account, like quite a bit older than Branson. And what happened in the house was quite crazy. Accidentally, Branson was drugged. I don't really know what that means, but accidentally, Branson got drugged while hanging out with Jason Bierman, because Jason Bierman potentially provided him with an unnamed drug. That's all we have. That's all the information that we have. So while intoxicated, Branson, while he was at the neighbor's house, allegedly danced around the house naked. He also shaved his pubic hair and then engaged in sexual activities with Jason Bierman. After the incident, Branson Perry confessed this to his father, Bob, and Branson was upset as he felt that he had been taken advantage of. Branson's father, Bob, said that he knew that his son was homosexual and suspected that he had encounters with men in the past. And he was also angry at Jason Bierman, the neighbor, because he thought that Jason Bierman drugged his son and then sexually abused him, potentially. So this happened 4 days before Branson vanished. I wanted to kind of build up the story here, because mm-hmm. this is a big part. Anything you would like me to clarify on this point, or shall we just keep going?
Nothing to clarify on my end. It was just, it was kind of odd for me. Like, how strong was that drug? He was dancing around the house nude, and he shaved his pubic hair and engaged in sexual activities all at the same night. It seems like he either got really drunk or that drug was strong.
I think it was potentially a very strong drug.
So you don't think it's just something like, I don't know, random weed?
I don't know. We don't have information on what exactly the drug was at that point. So another interesting information that I found on one source, and this is not anything I can verify, so we have to take this with a grain of salt. After Branson's disappearance, some sources claim that this neighbor, Jason Bierman, was nowhere to be found for 2 whole weeks. And this is kind of important for us because Jason Bierman would have, well, from our standpoint, a motive to, you know, commit foul play towards Branson, because Branson was essentially sexually abused, assaulted by Jason Bierman.
Yeah.
So Jason Bierman would seemingly have a motive.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, actually.
Right. But let's jump into the day of the disappearance before we jump to any conclusions. So it's Wednesday. It's the afternoon. It's April 11 of 2001. Jason, a little quick backstory. Jason's father, Bob, was actually hospitalized at this time. He was set to go back home from getting released from the hospital that Friday. So on Wednesday, Branson invited a female friend named Jenna over to his house to help him out clean the residence for his father's Bob's basically release, so that when Bob comes back home, they're going to be all clean. So at this time, on Wednesday afternoon, when this person, Jenna, the female friend Jenna, comes over to, you know, Branson's house to help him clean up for when his father will be released, 2 other unnamed men were outside of this residence, and they were working on Bob's car, which needed a new alternator. At approximately 3 p.m., Branson Perry told Jenna that he was going to take a pair of jumper cables outside to a shed adjacent to the house. And this was the last time he was ever seen. It's bizarre.
Question.
Oh yeah, I bet you should have some, because this just concludes really quickly, and then I have some additional information, but yeah, ask away.
Of course. Yeah, you mentioned there were 2 other unnamed men outside the residence. They're working on the father's car.
Yes.
Is there a connection why Perry had to take a pair of jumper cables? Was he probably, I don't know, did they talk? Did those 2 men ask Perry to grab some jumper cables? Maybe they needed them?
That's a very good question. How about I read you Branson's mother's information?
Of course, yes. Go for it.
And then we could kind of conclude here, because it's really hard to get the complete story here.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go from multiple sources. So Rebecca Clino, or Clino, I forgot how it's pronounced correctly. But Rebecca was Branson's mother. She had sadly passed away, I believe, in 2011, never really knowing what happened to Branson, which is really unfortunate. She provided this information on bringbransonhome.com. So she says that the events of the day are fairly sketchy to me and often make no sense. I don't have a timeline of when they occurred, only sporadic comments that were made. At one point, the friend saw Branson. So the friend is Jenna. When we refer to the friend from this information, we refer to Jenna.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the female friend who was helping Branson. So at one point, Jenna saw Branson run into the kitchen and take something out of one of the cabinets, then run out the back door. When he returned, she said he wouldn't tell her what he was doing and acted like nothing happened. Later, Jenna said that she had taken a shower, and when she came out of the bathroom, She saw one of the men that were working on the car going through the cabinets in the kitchen. She said she asked the man what he was looking for, and the man, one of the men that were working on the car, said nothing and went back outside. Then at approximately 3 p.m., she had been upstairs in the residence, probably cleaning up, when she heard the front porch door shut. She looked out the window and saw Branson. She asked him where he was going. He told her he was going to put the jumper cables in the storage shed and would be right back. However, she never saw him again. The man that had been working on the car claimed to have never seen him. No one saw him. So that's pretty bizarre.
That's really bizarre, yeah, I agree.
That's a bizarre statement. Mm-hmm. So this friend, Jenna, claims that she had witnessed strange behavior from Branson and one of the men that were working on the car. Something related to those cabinets in the kitchen. First of all, Branson took something from the cabinet in the kitchen, then ran out. And then sometime later, one of the men that were working on the car apparently were sifting through those cabinets looking for something.
A glass of water, perhaps?
Didn't seem like that. Seemed like it was portrayed as if it was more suspicious.
What was in those cabinets, though?
I have no clue.
Was there something important? Probably like money, ATM cards, whatsoever?
I think that's anyone's guess at this point. This information has never been
released.
No, we have no idea what actually happened. And to be honest, we don't even, at least from my research, and I definitely spent some good time trying to find out, I don't even know if the two men that were working on Branson's father's vehicle, have even been ever identified. And this is so bizarre. This is very bizarre.
It's really bizarre. How come they were never identified?
They may have been identified. I'm not really sure. But let's keep moving with the story, and then we'll conclude with something, right? I also found another account of Jenna saying something a little bit different from another source, where she said that as she saw Branson with those jumper cables, what Branson actually told her was that, I'm going to put away the jumper cables, then run out for a bit. I'll be back in a few minutes. And then he never came back. So this is different because this account says that he was supposed to also go somewhere a little bit after putting those jumper cables. Does this make any sense?
Yeah, but it is quite odd. The difference is massive between the first statement and the second statement.
Yes, please go on because I'm drinking some water, sipping some water.
I'm just wondering, like, is there a connection between the jumper cables and the men? And what's inside those cabinets? I mean, if it was a cabinet in the kitchen that contains just glasses, then it's pretty obvious, maybe just a glass of water. But if it's like something else, then what is there to, I don't know, steal maybe? Grab?
Exactly. Bizarre. And I have no answers for your questions.
Yeah, but so far it seems like Branson was hiding something.
Yeah, if you're gonna go with Jenna's account.
Oh.
But let's move forward here. Mm-hmm. Some more comments from Rebecca, Branson's mother. She says that the friend, Jenna, just thought that Branson had gotten sidetracked, so she left after she finished what she was doing. Bob, Branson's father, did not come home that Friday because his doctors told him that he had to stay a few more days in the hospital over the weekend. So his mother had come to check on Branson Friday. That would be Branson's grandmother. Since she hadn't heard from Branson for a couple of days at that point, when Branson's grandmother got to the house on Friday, all of the doors had been left open and the radio was still on, which the grandmother found pretty strange. She went to check again on Saturday and still nothing. She began to get concerned and started making phone calls to Branson's friends. No one had heard from Branson. She called Bob, Branson's father, on Sunday, and then Bob called Rebecca, Branson's mother, that same evening. Bob got out of the hospital Monday morning. They all met up and reported Branson as a missing person. So this is two things that jump out to me. First of all, obviously, it's very bad because Branson was reported only 5 days after he went missing. So 5 days he was last seen, which is a very long, which is already like a lot of very important time that has been lost, obviously. Another thing I would like to kind of circle back to is the little detail about Branson's grandmother finding the house unlocked and the radio was on. So seems to me that what we have here is that ever since, you know, the two men that were working on Bob's car and Jenna, when they all left the house that Wednesday, seems to me that everyone just left the doors unlocked, even left the radio playing all throughout the rest of the week, which is kind of odd that the house was potentially empty and no one was there with the unlocked doors and the radio was still playing.
Yeah, that one's just odd. I have no words.
Right, so now let's kind of talk a little bit about the investigation. When the police came to investigate, Bob could not find anything of Branson's that was missing. Even his wallet was left behind. When they checked the shed for the jumper cables that allegedly Branson was gonna put back in the shed, they were actually not there. They didn't find those jumper cables. However, 2 weeks after the investigation started, those jumper cables allegedly mysteriously showed up in the shed, almost indicating that someone put them back in the shed just 2 weeks after the investigation had begun, which is a bizarre detail and makes me think if this is a red herring, meaning that it's not an important detail to the case, or could you imagine how someone potentially committed foul play to Branson and then return those jumper cables? And why would you do that?
And stay in the house for a little bit?
No, I don't think so, because it's already 2 weeks after the investigation had started. So
yeah, but at the same time, what about those open open doors and unlocked doors and open radio?
So this happened during the first 2 days of Branson being unaccounted for. And these jumper cables got returned 2 weeks after the investigation started. So at that point, you know, Bob was already back home.
Oh, okay.
You know, so someone must have snuck in to the shed and placed those jumper cables if that was that's what actually happened. You know, after conducting the research, I almost feel like there is a chance that those jumper cables were always in the shed and maybe they were have been somehow overlooked the first time, because they were in the door of the shed, you know, like when
the hook by the door,
something like that,
like behind the door, and you would just hang it in there,
something like that. I don't exactly know, but I would assume that that's where the jumper cables were at.
Yeah, that's, if that was the case, then it's very easily can be overlooked.
Exactly. So I think, to me personally, those jumper cables never really gave too much information what could be happening here in this case. Several people were giving lie detector tests. Some passed and some didn't. Rebecca was not given the details that she could understand from what I can understand. Many leads came in at first. The police searched the river, the farms, the ponds, even wells. Nothing came up. When the leads became far and few, Bob's family contacted a local psychic. Once again, the police followed up on new leads. Still nothing was found. Ground search parties were organized by Nottoway County Police within a 15-mile radius of the Perry residence. Numerous fields, farms, and abandoned buildings were searched, but the efforts proved fruitless. Over the following month and a half, over 100 people were interviewed in Branson Perry's disappearance. Jenna, who had been at, you know, Branson's home, the day of the disappearance, admitted to law enforcement that Branson had recently been experimenting with marijuana and amphetamines. A family member also informed police that Branson Perry had a bottle of Valium, which is this kind of prescribed drug to make you more relaxed. It's supposed to treat anxiety, from what I can understand. And apparently he had a bottle of Valium in his possession on the day when he vanished. So he had some drugs on him. Law enforcement questioned the drug acquaintances of Branson's in another town called St. Joseph, which is a town a little bit bigger. It has like 70,000 people living there, so it's a properly big town, kind of close to Skid Row in Missouri. But all of these so-called drug acquaintances stated that they had not seen him, and each passed a polygraph examination. Further investigation into the local drug trade was undertaken, but no leads were uncovered despite rumors that Branson Perry allegedly owed drug dealers some money. And I think this information came maybe from Jenna, from what I recall, that maybe Jenna provided this rumor that he owed money to drug dealers. Immediately, I have a question. How much money could a 20-year-old unemployed young man how much money could he owe drug dealers, if that makes sense?
I don't know, something not so, from what I'm assuming, it would be maybe somewhere around $100-$200, and then as an unemployed 20-year-old, it's going to be hard to pay off.
Yeah, would you think there's a chance that he would owe enough money for him to be murdered? And why would someone murder him over a debt? Because if you murder someone, you know you're not going to get that money back.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like every time we have a case and you would mention something about drugs or drugs is involved, like a drug debt or involving just some kind of drug usage, it immediately, like, I don't know why, for some reason, but in my head it's immediately like, yeah, I mean, meddled with the wrong people.
And you might be onto something here. Mm-hmm. And hold that thought.
Okay,
we'll get to it. Bob initially suspected that his son had left to stay with friends in Kansas City, which is, you know, a big city in America, because Branson did not have a working car at the time. His father Bob presumed that he may have been hitchhiking to potentially get to Kansas City.
Okay.
And this is where a man named Jack Wayne Rogers comes about. On April 10th in 2003, so almost at 2-year anniversary of Branson's disappearance, law enforcement arrested a man named Jack Wayne Rogers, at that time a 59-year-old Presbyterian minister, which is a chain of Catholicism. What am I trying to say here? Catholicism? I was thinking I'm the only one who's crazy here.
Catholic people.
Catholicism. Right?
Catholicism? Please correct us in the comments.
It just completely vanished from my brains. I don't know why. But Christianity, right?
Yeah.
So a 59-year-old...
Catholicism.
Maybe it's not even a word. Okay. So a 59-year-old Presbyterian, which is a chain of Christianity, minister Jack Wayne Rogers. He was also a Boy Scout leader. This man was arrested because he was arrested on charges of first-degree assault and practicing medicine without a license after removing a trans woman's genitals in a makeshift gender reassignment surgery at a hotel in Colombia.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's very strange. Like, he was a Presbyterian minister,
mm-hmm.
and he was, I believe, charged on first-degree assault and practicing medicine without a license after removing a trans woman's genitals in a makeshift gender reassignment surgery. I was looking into this story a little bit, and I feel like it was a situation where he was performing those sex change surgeries without a license, and one of the victims almost died. Well, one of the, let's say, people who accepted to go to undergo this, you know, surgery under Jack Wayne Rogers almost died. And so law enforcement had to be called in just so that person would survive. And that's when they caught him.
Okay. First of all, this case immediately went to on a 360 turn. That's a plot twist right there. Second.
You mean 180 probably.
Yeah, 360. 180.
Because if it's 360, it didn't really go anywhere.
It went back, right?
Yeah, it didn't really go.
180.
Didn't go far then.
And then this dude, you mentioned he was a priest?
He was a Presbyterian priest and a Boy Scout leader.
And a Boy Scout leader?
Yes.
And then he started performing surgeries?
It's a really terrible. So despite 1992 conviction for the possession of CP, Jack Wayne Rogers was hired as a minister at the First Presbyterian Church in Fulton, Missouri. I mean, it's already bad when you hire a priest to be a minister. He had the prior conviction of CP in 92. In the year of 2000, the church apparently thought it was a great idea to allow Rogers to act as a chaperone during a trip to a youth conference in Maryland where it is alleged that he sexually assaulted a young boy. He was also a Boy Scout leader, despite his status as a registered sex offender. Perhaps unsurprisingly, Jack Wayne Rogers was once again arrested for CP in 2003, however, was not the only charge he faced. While investigating Rogers' personal belongings, detectives discovered CP on his computer, as well as evidence of various posts made on message boards under various usernames like Buggerbutt, Oh Hail Satan, and Extreme Body Mods. This is where the connection to Branson Perry comes in. One of those posts actually described Rogers himself picking up a blonde male hitchhiker, then assaulting, torturing, and murdering that hitchhiker. In the online post, it was claimed that the man's body was buried in a remote area in the Ozark Mountains, which is this mountain range in the general vicinity. Despite this, this man, Rogers, denied ever seeing Branson Perry or knowing him and asserted that those online posts that he was making were all fabricated and purely fantasy. Law enforcement, however, suspected that the man in question, the blonde hitchhiker that was described in one of those posts, was actually Branson Perry. While performing a subsequent search of Rogers' property, a turtle claw necklace resembling one owed by Branson Perry was discovered in one of his vehicles. We don't know if that's a piece of jewelry or a necklace that belonged to Branson, but it was similar to one that Branson had. And he also made the post on an online message board describing how he murdered a hitchhiker, a blonde hitchhiker. And I've seen a source potentially state that he described that he picked up that male blonde hitchhiker on the day when Branson vanished. But then again, he could have been aware of Branson's disappearance. It was a public case in the town of Skidmore. And he could have just made it up. That's what he claims, that he had made up the story. But law enforcement were not so certain that he was making up these stories.
Why would you make up a story such as that?
I mean, he was a madman, essentially. So you can't really question, his activities, I would say. I think you do it because there's probably other people that are doing the same.
Making up so horrible, gruesome stories that may or may not have happened?
Exactly. Yeah. And then you don't really know if they're telling the truth or if this is a fantasy.
And yeah, the worst part is you don't even know if he's actually admitting to it or just stirring the pot.
Yeah, exactly. You are very correct. In April of 2004, Rogers was convicted and sentenced to 17 years in prison for assault and 7 years for performing illegal surgery, as well as 30 years for CP charges, which would run concurrently with the former two charges. At the sentencing, Branson's mother begged Rogers to reveal Branson's whereabouts, but Rogers, at the sentencing, denied being involved in Branson's disappearance. His earliest release date is October 30th, 2024, when he will be 83 years old. After attending the sentencing, Branson Sperry's mother stated that she no longer felt that Rogers was responsible for her son's disappearance. She said that the police are not completely ruling him out, but now the investigation has turned towards Skidmore again. They have received new leads there. I suppose time has a way of unraveling secrets. I believe someone in the area knows what happened to Branson. In my heart, I don't believe this suspect is responsible. Despite the nightmare I lived through, I am thankful that someone with that much evil will never walk the streets again. So now the mother, Rebecca, stated that she no longer believed that this man was involved. But one way or another, I do believe that Jack Wayne Rogers was describing Branson's disappearance in that post. What do you think? It seems to me that he, because he was from the local area, he was living fairly close by. I don't know exactly how much. He wasn't, I think, in Skidmore, but he was from one of the surrounding towns. And he described abducting and murdering a blind hitchhiker. I believe that he was describing Branson, but I am not sure if he was actually talking about what actually happened or he was just making up the story. What do you think about this?
I'm just curious though, like some part of the story doesn't seem connected to the other part in a way wherein, remember Jenna's statement wherein Branson was went outside to just grab a cable or something,
like put away a cable and right back, like in a couple of minutes. Yeah. And then he's now all of a sudden hitchhiking.
Exactly.
That's a very good point. It doesn't really fit.
Yeah. I mean, if Jenna's statement would be like Branson would go to Kansas City with his bag, hitchhiking or commuting per se, it would make more sense, but I don't know. It's kind of seems like two different stories at the same time.
Good observation. Very, very good observation. I actually had that same thought.
Really?
Yeah. Like Branson did not indicate to Jenna that he was gonna hitchhike. On top of that, let's remember that his personal belongings were left behind, even his wallet.
So exactly.
It didn't seem like he was preparing to hike for a long time.
Mm-hmm. So whatever this twisted story of that creepy guy was, could have been just a story because it doesn't really add up. Unless he abducted Branson within the property.
Yeah, but I don't think so.
You don't think so?
The likelihood is very slim,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. Because that would mean that he was driving around Skidmore looking for victims.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, doesn't look to me like the likelihood of that happening is kind of slim, in my opinion.
That's true.
But I'm not saying it's completely impossible.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a possibility that Branson came back, but Jenna didn't see him?
Yes, I do think from the research, there is a possibility that Branson did come back home that Wednesday, because I don't know exactly when the two men that were working on the car left or when Jenna left home, but I don't think there is definitive proof that Branson never really came back home. We just know that on Friday, Branson's grandmother came over and she found the house unlocked. We, for example, don't know what happened Thursday, or at least this is not information I was able to find online, what was happening on Thursday, but I do think there from the research I have like looked made and from the information that I found, I do think that there is a chance that maybe Branson came back home that Wednesday, potentially.
Yeah, but then again, if he's going hitchhiking, why would he leave all the doors unlocked and the radio open?
Radio on, his personal belongings still mm-hmm. there. I think maybe that's one of the theory. Maybe, yeah, I agree. It doesn't add up.
It really doesn't add up.
No, not at all. I have some more information about subsequent developments. So Bob died in 2004. And he never knew what happened to Branson, unfortunately. 5 years later, in 2009, in June, law enforcement revealed that they were completing an excavation of a site in Quitman, Missouri, a very small town, even smaller than Skidmore, a little north of Skidmore, after receiving a credible tip that Perry's remains may have been located there. Over a period of 2 days, excavators dug a 23-foot deep hole that covered an area of around 20 feet by 40 feet. At that time, another local farmer who resided 1.5 miles east of Quitman stated that law enforcement had searched his property several years prior, searching for an abandoned well. But the search yielded no results, probably thinking that Branson's body may have been dumped in a well. In 2010, Rebecca offered a $20,000 reward for information, leading to her son's whereabouts. Joanne Stinnett, who was the grandmother of Branson, said that around town we searched every oil well, every outside toilet. We searched everywhere that was possible for us to think that something could be there, but nothing was ever located. So it seems like they did a pretty thorough search of this town, of the surrounding areas, but they could not find Branson's remains or any clues that could lead to Branson's recovery, at least nothing that we have publicly available to us to talk about. However, on August 14th in 2022, so recently, just a few years ago, 2 years ago, not even 2 years ago, actually, the current Nottoway County Sheriff, Randy Strong, announced a suspect had been identified. But more evidence was needed before an arrest could be made.
Was it the priest?
No, we don't know who the suspect is. Hmm. It just released that there is a suspect in the case.
So we're not completely sure if it was the priest or it was someone else.
I believe it was someone else. And we'll talk a little bit this detail in a little bit. I have some thoughts that I kind of want to throw at you. And I want to hear your take on it. So let's talk about Jenna a little bit. So some sources claim that Branson indicated to Jenna that he is going on a little walk after he would put the cables back to the shed. Where would he be going? If he's going on, it's a very small town, Skidmore. He is basically in the process of cleaning up the house for the return of his father from the hospital. He says, "I'll be right back. I'm going somewhere." Where is he going after he puts the cables back in? Let's remember that he, according to Jenna, had been recently experimenting with some marijuana and amphetamines, and the family member claims that he had a bottle of Valium on him. Also, he had a racing heart condition, with probably is definitely not a good mix when you also put drugs into like the picture. So my first question, where do you think he was going? Do you have any suspicions? Where was Branson going? If he was going anywhere?
I have a question for you though.
Okay.
You mentioned something about Valium. Did he have an anxiety or was it just one of the drugs he was using?
You know, I can't say. Mm-hmm. The only information we have, it was written on Wikipedia that a family member confirmed that he had a bottle of Valium.
Oh, okay. That doesn't really answer anything. Because I was thinking, is it just potentially he was a walker or likes to walk? you like to walk. Like every time you're having so much thoughts and anxiety, you always go out for a walk. But
I love walking, yeah.
Is there a potential that he could have been the same? But I don't know. It's just, or also potentially, it could be maybe he wanted to smoke some weeds.
Why not?
Or take some drugs somewhere out of the property, away from Jenna.
I don't see how that would not be a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Because it's just all of a sudden. It's not like something planned. It was something unexpected. Like, for example, I'm just going to bring back the cable and then I'm going to go out for a walk. It's something random, right?
Yes.
So I don't know.
It's hard to say.
It's hard to say. It's either he was really just gonna wanted to take a breather or was about to do some drugs.
How about the two men that were fixing the car? Let's bring it back to that detail, right? So I found information from bringbranson.com where Rebecca, his mother, said that it is still unclear to me as to who asked them to fix the car, whether it was Bob or Branson. Top of that, I'm not even sure if these men were ever identified. And let's also remember Jenna's claims that there was something suspicious happening with Branson as he ran into the kitchen and then took something out of it and ran out the back door. And sometime later, the same person, Jenna, saw one of the men that were working on the vehicle take something out of, or not take, but look for something in those same cabinets. And when approached and asked, "What are you looking for?" the man said nothing and quickly left the kitchen.
Drugs.
Something like that, right? It has to be, like, that's what Jenny is sort of kind of projecting here.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs.
I don't know if I'm late to the party, but it just connected in my head right now. If they were doing something suspicious or out of the ordinary, opening drawers, opening kitchenwares, most likely it's drugs, no?
I mean, you know, we're speculating heavily here, but that is what jumps to my mind as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just discussing.
Initially, I thought they were kind of stealing. Or just wanted a glass of water, but it seems like out of all the three, stealing, grabbing a glass of water, or looking for drugs.
Or? Jenna potentially exaggerating. Let's add another possibility.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Jenna is a trustworthy person in this case?
I don't know.
Hmm.
So it's hard to say, right?
It's really hard.
How about
to say
those jumper cables? What do you think about the jumper cables? Do you think it's a red herring, a clue that makes no difference for us? Or do you think that this clue is actually important? That those jumper cables were not found initially, but 2 weeks later they mysteriously reappear in the shed? What is the motivation of someone returning them, potentially, which I see no motivation in my opinion? Or have they just been overlooked? And maybe Branson did put those cables in the shed and just walked away somewhere. Maybe this is just some misinformation, miscommunication.
Yeah, once again, this is so hard to answer. Because those cables, if they were mentioned by Jenna and like the police force actually took that into consideration and focused on that, then they would have found it. But if, for example, it's just a passing thought, those are just cables. They're very easy to get overlooked. So it depends on the situation. It depends on what actually happened, like how the case was described by Jenna at first and how the police enforcement actually took action. What do you think?
You know, to me, I think I would be leaning towards that this particular detail
overlooked.
It's not something that is important, in my opinion. But I could be completely wrong. It's just my hunch that maybe it's not that important when trying to answer the question. what happened. What do you think about the neighbor, Jason Bierman, the same man who allegedly assaulted and drugged Branson?
I actually find him more suspicious than the priest guy.
And what about those sources that claim that he was nowhere to be seen for a week after Branson's disappearance?
Mm-hmm. I know there's like another dude who was really creepy, the priest. But I don't know, in my opinion, this neighbor is kind of way more suspicious than that priest.
Of course, I do agree because even though we know that the priest was definitely like a horrible human being.
Definitely.
And he's in prison right now. And we don't really have any information about this Jason Bierman. I really did try to find something about him. I couldn't find anything. I think I found some other Jason Biermans.
From LinkedIn or something?
No, from mugshots. Ooh. But unrelated to this case.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that Jason Bierman is more like connected to the case because he's an actual neighbor, an actual person who did have an encounter, a very kind of negative encounter just 4 days prior to Branson's disappearance. I mean, I would definitely say that Jason Bierman, from the information that we have, obviously law enforcement might know something already, and what we're talking about could be completely irrelevant, honestly. Mm-hmm. But just from the information that we have online, I would say that to me, it looks like Jason Bierman is more connected to the case than this Presbyterian priest.
Yeah, and what was that about the accidentally drugged during that party? I don't understand.
I feel like it was, in my opinion, what that means is that maybe they were doing some drugs and that maybe Branson took either too many or had a stronger reaction than expected.
Oh, okay, makes sense now. But it wasn't like completely something like Jason drugged Branson, right?
Yeah. I don't think it was like, drugged and taken advantage. I think,
mm-hmm.
as I understand, Branson willingly...
There was a consent to take the drug.
I think. I could be wrong. It's so hard to say because we don't have the information. But mm-hmm. I think there could be a chance there was a consent rather than just a purposeful drugging. It was described as an accidental situation. And what happened next is, you know, illegal. But what happened before was not illegal. Well, it was also illegal. Taking drugs is illegal. But like, you know what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. A consent from both parties.
Yes. You asked the question because I'm going to go into a whole nother angle.
No, I'm just going to say it seems like there's a more probability that Jason did something because, for example, Branson, as you mentioned, just told Jenna that he was going to put the cables back in the shed and then he never came back. There's Jason, the neighbor. He could have done something.
Yeah, that's a very good thought.
That's all I have.
No, but that's a very good point. That's a very good point. Now, I have some information. This is very strange, and I wasn't able to verify this, but I've heard a few sources state this. But this could be completely not true. So let's take this with a grain of salt, because this could be not correct information. According to Nodaway County Sheriff Randy Strong, he says back in 2019 that the case has had a few leads in almost 2 decades, like very few leads in 2 decades. This is partly due to the fact that Branson Perry was last seen on April 11, 2001, at a residence that burned down only a few days later. So this is strange because this would mean that the family house burnt down, which doesn't make that much sense because just a few days later, his grandmother had checked up on him on Friday and on Saturday. And also this has never been mentioned anywhere. So I think this could be just a miscommunication here. But yeah, there is a chance that the house burned down. Like, I mean, I went to Google Maps and I can see the house right now. It's standing.
Oh,
But, you know, the Google Maps shows recent images. I don't know if it was burnt down briefly in like the early 2000s and rebuilt. So we can only guess. But yeah, it's strange. Now, the sheriff of Nottoway County, Randy Strong, said he believes that the drugs were involved in the incident. Mr. Strong said he has his suspicions about who killed Branson Perry, but he has been unable to get much traction on the case. He stated, there have been some really good detectives that have worked on the case in the past. I know most of them from the Highway Patrol and different agencies that have came in and looked. They've laid a really good foundation, and I think they're on target. And it's up to us to pick up the ball and see if we can take it and finish the case. So, Randy Strong, the sheriff, thinks it's drug-related, and he feels like they even know who did it. They just can't get enough proof to bring this case to court.
Do you have any other additional information regarding who they think did it?
Actually, a very good point, because I do have some more information here. So, the aunt of Branson said that she hopes that someone will come forward, even anonymously, with information about what happened to Branson Perry, or where his remains can be found. She said that we need an end to the nightmare. She also said his family is dwindling, and I want closure. I want an end to the nightmare, so my family and Branson's mom and little brother can be at peace. Anyone with information can contact Nottoway County Sheriff Randy Strong, or the Missouri State Highway Patrol. I think it was, this is what Randy Strong said, some additional comments from the sheriff. I think it was he was with a group of individuals that he knew when he was murdered. And it's pretty simple as that. The sticking point on this, I believe, is that we are dealing with a drug culture. They're not willing to give much information, and we don't know where the body is. The individuals involved continue to be a threat to the community. Second, it's the right thing to do. If it was a family member of mine or yours, you'd want us to work on it as much as we could. Randy Strong adds that the investigation will continue, and investigators will follow leads and continue to collect evidence. Once they have what they think is enough of a strong case that they can bring forward to the prosecutor's office, they will do it then. Other articles where the sheriff's comments could be taken from, he says that he thinks it's drug-related. He also says that there are certain individuals whose names keep popping up in and on again, and I think it's time that we put all this together and come up with what we can and present it to the prosecutor for them to look at and decide. Can we move forward with the case? If we don't find a body, or do we continue to look, and those are some tough decisions that we're going to have to make. So basically, they're contacting the prosecutor, asking if they should bring the case to them, even if they don't have Branson's body. So Sheriff Strong said he feels there are people in the area that have direct knowledge of Branson's disappearance. He said, I think we are pretty familiar with the individuals that are responsible, that there's some other individuals that probably have information that could come forward and help us bring this case back to life, he said. That's all we have. That's the information that we have. That apparently the sheriff said that they're pretty certain it was drug-related, pretty certain that Branson was murdered when he was hanging out with a group of people that he knew. He's even certain that they know about these individuals, that they're familiar to the law enforcement, maybe they have committed crimes in the past, and it looks like they're zeroing in on someone. I don't know if this could be that same Jason Bierman guy, because he did provide the drug to Branson. So maybe he's talking about Jason Bierman. I don't know. It could be potentially Jason Bierman, the neighbor. It could be someone else. Who knows? But this seems like I would also go with law enforcement here, because, I mean, they know way more than us.
That's true. Yeah, after you mentioned that information, it kind of switched from Jason to a group of unnamed druggies, drug-related individuals. Because there might be a drug community over there, and once you're in, I mean...
And Skidmore has a very dark past.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very dark. For a city with 250 people, not thousands, but 250 people or something like that.
That's a village.
That's a village. They have violent murders that had happened there. And even Branson's relatives have been murdered in that town just years after he vanished.
I mean, it's crazy thinking about that place having druggies, maybe gangs. Do you think there's a gang over there?
I'm not sure. Probably not like a gang that you would think of, yeah, a national gang, but definitely I would say if there's drugs.
A group of violent individuals, per se.
Well, it seems to me that if there's drugs in the community, of course there's going to be people willing to do, you know, violent things, potentially. I mean,
the priest, the creepy.
He wasn't in Skidmore, but the general like location. Skidmore has a dark past. That's all I'm going to say. And yeah, the law enforcement, they're saying that they even know who did it. They just don't have enough proof. And they even think that, I think they think that they know how it happened potentially, or like, but they just can't find the body. So this is the case. I mean, I know it has like a lot of twists and turns.
Oh yeah,
turns,
definitely. Mm-hmm.
But it's, I think, promising that even 20 years after this case has information coming out that law enforcement has a suspect. And hopefully we can expect some more news on Branson Perry's disappearance case.
Yeah, hopefully this case will be solved one day.
That would be good.
Hopefully soon.
That would be good. Let's keep our eyes on the case and try to spread awareness. Because someone knows something in the community that, I mean, seems like someone definitely knows. Let's see if someone can find it in their heart to come forward and finally end this crazy mystery that basically just shattered entire lives.
True.
It's awful. And I hope that we will have a resolution
soon.
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening to Weeknight Mysteries podcast. And we were thinking about maybe trying a different format. We'll see if we end up doing something a little bit different. But I would say for this episode, it's time to wrap up.
Wrap it up.
And please check us out next time.
Yeah. And if you have any suggestions for future cases that we could talk about, please leave a comment.
We always appreciate those.
We love those.
Yeah. And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Please stay safe. And catch us on the next one.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.